Our second lesson comes from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 42. And just to catch us up, because we have not been reading through this particular sort of storyline, but Peter and James specifically have gotten into quite a bit of trouble with the local authorities, the Jewish authorities, the Sanhedrin. They went to the temple one day and healed a man there, and there was a big kerfuffle about it, and he preached a sermon. They were called before the Sanhedrin. As Julie mentioned, they were told very strictly, do not preach the name of Jesus anymore. And they went out and they immediately started preaching the name of Jesus. Well, they get in trouble again, and they're arrested again, and now they are before the Sanhedrin again. When they, the authorities, had brought them, Peter and John, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determining to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up and ordered the men to be put outside for a short time. Then he said to them, fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you propose to do to these men. For some time ago, Thaddeus rose up claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. But he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and disappeared. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up, and at the time of the census, and got people to follow him, he also perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God. They were convinced by him. And when they had called in the apostles, they had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. As they left the council, they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Lord God, thank you for your word given to us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that works in and through us. Thank you for minds, our ability to think, to reason, to hear where you are calling us. Lord God, fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may hear and know your word for us this day. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts. May they be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If there's one thing that is striking about Generation Z, if you don't know what Generation Z is those who are born 2000 until now. If there's one thing that is striking about Generation Z, it is their really strange sense of humor. Okay, if there are two things that mark Generation Z, it is their strange sense of humor and their willingness to be open about literally everything. Okay, if there are three really defining things about Generation Z, it's their strange sense of humor, their willingness to be open about just about everything, and their ability to question. There's a lot of passion that we see in this generation. Young folks, some of them are here, right? Ability to question, to understand, to say, hey, why are things the way that they are? The willingness, the boldness, the passion to not put up with our stuff. And by stuff, they probably use a different word. We see it all around. Those who are willing and willing to stand up and ask hard questions, to call people to account about all sorts of things. Why is that? Imagine, think back over your life. And think over all the things that have changed since 2001. And you've seen that change. Kids born in 2000 and since, they live in a post-9/11 world, but they don't have the experience, dare I say, the nostalgia for the attack. They grow up in a world that purports to be several things, that tells them in Sunday school and in class that they should treat people equally, no matter their race, and yet they look around and they see brutal, harsh truths about how we treat people in different races. We tell them that you should not judge someone on anything, and yet they look around and see how often we do judge. They are told to love our neighbors as ourselves, and they see us trying to distance ourselves from our neighbors as much as possible. They have grown up in a world where school and other mass shootings are kind of a normal thing. They grow up in a world where there is growing consensus about global climate change and yet an unwillingness to do anything about it. And they ask, why? But they're not alone in questioning, are they? No, this questioning has been a long-standing practice. The philosopher Socrates in Athens, Greece, was famous for asking annoying questions, so much that he called himself, and others called him, a gadfly, a little gnat that kind of gets in your face and bites and just kind of doesn't do a whole lot of damage, it just annoys. He was famous for coming up to people on the street and just asking them questions, and then asking more questions, and asking for an answer to that question, asking people to sort of stand up for what they believe and think through the things that they believe. But of course, Socrates is not the only one to question. After the Holocaust, very early in the Holocaust, there was sort of a consensus among Jewish leaders that this terrible thing that we know now was happening couldn't possibly be happening. And so very soon, they adopted sort of the mentality that if several Jewish leaders are gathered together, several rabbis are gathered together, and everyone agrees it is someone's duty and right to disagree. To look and to see if this thing that is so terrible that it couldn't possibly be happening, well, what if it is? Let's look. Gamaliel is an interesting case. Gamaliel, you may recognize, remember, or maybe this will be news to you, was the teacher of Saul who eventually became Paul. Gamaliel is a member and a respected member of the Sanhedrin, this group of leaders in first century Jerusalem. They are making decisions about what happens with their people. And they see this growing sort of insurgence, sort of movement of those who believe in Jesus of Nazareth. And there's a pretty large consensus among them that these people are dangerous. That they keep talking about this Jesus and they claim that he is alive when we know that he is dead. They are saying that we were the ones who killed him when we technically didn't. It was the Romans. It was all their fault. They were very strong in saying that these men, Peter and John, who are speaking so boldly in this name of Jesus, should be killed. Should get rid of this problem. It's not worth it. It would be much better for them to die than for all of these people to be led astray. It's easy to go along with the crowd, isn't it? And yet Gamaliel stands up. Gamaliel says, let's just take a moment and think about this. Is this really where we need to be going here? Do we really need to kill these two men because they're saying things that we don't like? We've seen this before. He makes mention of several revolutionaries that they had seen. It was a very tumultuous time in history. There were all sorts of people who rose up, claimed that they were the Messiah, had a huge following, eventually were killed by Rome because Rome was not a big fan of those who challenged their authority. And then the movement died. Everything went away. So Gamaliel says, let's just think about this. If this Jesus guy was just what we think he is, if he was just some radical revolutionary who is now out of the picture, his followers are going to go away eventually. They may be annoying, they may be disruptive for a time, but they're eventually going to go away. But what if they are not? What if this Jesus person, this preacher from Nazareth, was not just a carpenter's son who got a little bit uppity? What if he is, in fact, the Messiah? What if, in fact, what they are saying very boldly and proclaiming so loudly is actually the truth? Well, then, fellow Sanhedrin, not only will we be found to be working against these men, but we'll be working against the living God. And guess who's going to be on the losing end of that battle? It's going to be us. So I want you to just stop and think. Imagine the boldness that it would take to do that. To stand before your fellow members of this prestigious council and to question what they had all firmly decided in their minds. Well, they have Peter and John beaten and told not to preach in the name of Jesus. And eventually the council would continue to go on this path. In fact, not long after this, they would take Stephen and they would kill him. They would stone him to death for daring to proclaim that Jesus was the Messiah. Ultimately, the council did not believe in Gamaliel, but he still asked the questions. And in the end, we stand here today because Jesus Christ is Messiah. Is the Savior of the world, is the one who, yes, was put to death and then rose again so that we might live. Our call is to follow, even when it seems like everyone might be against us. And I think it is our call to ask the question. To sometimes go against the flow. To look at the gospel that we preach and look at our own actions and ask the hard questions of ourselves. Are we living up to the things that we proclaim? Our call is to be Gamaliel. Our call is to be Peter and John and James and the rest of the apostles standing boldly and saying, this is what we believe. This is what we have seen. This is who Jesus is. So proclaim and question and follow our living Savior. Amen.